It's difficult to think of any subject which has been more used and abused than ecclesiastical language about sheep and shepherds, to such an extent that the very language of the good shepherd seems coated in kitsch. Well, these are the words of theologian James Allison, although, as he goes on to say, he himself is deeply committed to this language of sheep and shepherds. He received his own sense of being called to ministry by means of Jesus' words to Peter, "Feed my sheep." And those of you who heard Susanna preach a couple of weeks ago will know that these same words have spoken deeply to her, drawing her, as with Peter, as with James Allison, from a sense of hopelessness and unworthiness into purpose and service. There's depth to this imagery and enduring power. So, drawing on the brilliant discussion by James Allison, I'd like us to explore it a little more. Allison points out that in the Hebrew scriptures, the notions of shepherd and temple are dynamically related. Shepherding is what emerges when the temple collapses. And, says Allison, Judaism and Christianity are both religions of the collapsing temple. So that may seem a little dense, so let me take a step back. Allison tells us that as a matter of historical fact, the evolution of Judaism is tied in important respects to the collapse of the temple in Jerusalem. It was the destruction of the temple in 587 BC which led to the creation of text-based Judaism. And it was the destruction of the second temple in AD 70 which led to the creation of rabbinic Judaism. But in each case, for the prophetic tradition, the collapse was not seen merely as a kind of unfortunate fact of history that had to be adapted to. It was actually part of the way in which God tries to get through. Part of God's plan, says Allison, to get us beyond something unworthy of us. Thus, in the Gospels, when Jesus is remembered as having taught about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, his hearers understand that he's not just predicting the likely behaviour of the Roman occupiers. He is prophesying the imminent act of God to make possible some new and different access to God. Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. Well, a key text in this understanding is the book of the prophet Ezekiel. In chapter 33 of Ezekiel, a refugee comes from Jerusalem to a group of Hebrew exiles then in Babylonia in the 6th century BC. The fugitive announces the fall of the city, Jerusalem, which necessarily involves the destruction of the temple. This is not news to Ezekiel, who had already seen God in a vision detaching himself from the temple and becoming flexible and mobile. But after hearing this destruction announced, Ezekiel is told by God to prophesy against the priests, the so-called shepherds of Israel, who have been using their cultic position not to serve the people, but to exploit them. This is Ezekiel. "Ho, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, You clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Alison writes, please notice, the prophecy is not that because these shepherds have failed to feed the sheep, the temple is going to be destroyed. That's already happened. No, this bit of the prophecy, this critical bit of the shepherds of Israel, is simply the preamble to the real prophecy. For now, Ezekiel begins to speak of a quite new sort of shepherding coming into being, one instigated by God himself in the wake of the collapse of the temple. Speaking for God, then, Ezekiel continues, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad, so I will seek out my sheep. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. I will feed them with good pasture. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the crippled, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will watch over. I will feed them in justice. And Alison's point is that for Ezekiel, it's the collapse of the temple of a false shepherding which leads to the vision of God's own self coming to dwell in the midst of God's people. Thus, he says, the notion of shepherd is always to be understood not just as a nice image among other nice images, but as one that only makes sense in critical juxtaposition to the notion of temple. So with this in mind, it seems to me that a bunch of new connections are discernible in the passage we heard read. In John's Gospel, Jesus' first public action is to change water into wine at the wedding at Cana, thus signifying that in him the true bridegroom of Israel has come. He's announcing himself as the Messiah, the fulfiller of God's purposes. Immediately after this, he goes to Jerusalem to the Passover, where he drives the traders and money changers out of the temple. And when he's asked on what authority he is doing such a thing, he replies, destroy this temple. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. There's some muttering. Some muttering.
It's God.
So he goes into the temple, he drives out the money changers. When he's asked on what authority he's doing such a thing, he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. There's muttering about the physical impossibility of his claim. This temple has been under construction for 46 years and will you raise it up in 3 days? But, says John, he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. In other words, from the very beginning, John's Gospel associates Jesus with the collapse of the Jerusalem temple and the arrival of a quite new access to God through him. And this is made explicit when John's Jesus draws on Ezekiel's prophecy to identify himself as the presence of the shepherding God, who is free to be with and for people quite independently of temple and cult. I am the good shepherd. I remember that what God had said in Ezekiel, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. It's not sounding so kitschy now. But then the question arises, who exactly are my sheep? In Ezekiel, the emphasis seems to be on the lost sheep of Israel, those who have been scattered in exile, oppressed and neglected by the powerful in the land. But Jesus seems to extend the metaphor. I have other sheep who do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd, one new humanity. This implied universality of Jesus' shepherding fits with his conversation earlier in the Gospel with the Samaritan woman at the well, a conversation also linked to the notion of the collapsing temple. This woman, this foreign woman, had commented to Jesus that our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews say the place people must worship is in Jerusalem. And he replied to her, "Woman, believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him." In Jesus, it seems the shepherding God has come to seek out anyone from whatever race or creed or nation who wills to worship in truth. But notice this is not just some glib or contentless universalism. Jesus speaks of his sheep knowing his voice. There's particularity here. If we are to become one flock, there's a requirement to discern the voice of the good shepherd from the voice of the hired hands. A requirement to discern the true God from idols. What are the criteria for this? Jesus says, the hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand is ultimately only concerned for themselves and will not protect the sheep from forces of destruction and death. The good shepherd, on the other hand, is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, Jesus is saying, the shepherding God, the God we are called to worship and obey, is steadfast, self-offering love, and comes only ever to enable life. So if some supposed divinity leads you to hate and scatter, requires you to participate in injustice or violence, or is not with and for you, but exploits and abuses you, then such a God is not true. Such a leader is not worthy of you. And this is the discernment that confronted those who encountered Jesus' words. He didn't look like what they expected God to be. Some men said, "He has a demon. He's out of his mind. Why listen to him?" But others tuned in to the deeper resonance. These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The word of the shepherding God came to Ezekiel in Babylonia, to the woman in Samaria, to the villages of Judea and Galilee. These are the lands in which a profound theological insight and imaginary was forged, in which the promise of the possibility of one flock, one humanity drawn together into rich pasture by the voice of the one shepherd who loves us all. In our day, we call these lands Palestine, Israel, Iraq, Syria, and Iran. There's a bitter or tragic irony in the fact that here, now, in place of one flock, millions are scattered and divided by hatred and fear. In place of rich pasture, millions are starving and dying, and the land itself is laid waste. In place of one shepherd, there are hired hands in every nation seeking to exploit the sheep, sow confusion, refuse responsibility, and lead to destruction. We are called to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, to discern his ways so as to become good shepherds in our turn. "Feed my sheep," says Jesus. "Tend my lambs." Whatever the temples collapsing around us, to this may we be true.